Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning. It's clear that on the last week of Billboard, our band decided to leave it all out on the floor, so that's something I can do to say thank you for joining us today on this snowy, miserable March 1st. It is great to see all of you. Man, it is the last week of Billboard. If you have not been with us at all for this, Billboard is an exciting series. Basically, here's what we did. We decided that we wanted to talk about something that everybody's already talking about anyway. You listen to music in your life. It's at work, it's at school, it's in your car. We kind of share this common experience of songs. And the words to these songs and the melodies to these songs just kind of, they rattle in our brains and in our hearts and in our culture and society. And what we decided to do is we wanted to take some very popular songs that you hear on the radio and that you know and just talk about what is God's perspective on those songs. What does God have to say about the things that these songs are about? So the first week we did the song Shake It Off by Taylor Swift, and we talked about shaking off offenses and that shaking it off is really about leaving our offenses and our right to be offended in the hands of God. And then week two, we did the song Cool Kids, and really we talked about what it means to belong and what it means to fit in, and we talked about the fact that Jesus called us first to be with him, and then he called us to be like him. And so God's reaching out to us, and he's saying, listen, I want you to just be with me. I just want you to know me. And then after you know me, then you're going to be like me. Then you're going to live life the way that I lived it and the way I want you to live it. And then last week, my wife, we did the song You Give Love a Bad Name, and my wife did a fantastic job. And she talked about how when we don't love the way Jesus loved, that we give God a bad name. We don't represent him well. And so today we're going to talk about the song A Sky Full of Stars by the band Coldplay. And I'm pretty excited about wrapping up with the song and wrapping up this series. It's interesting when you listen to the song A Sky Full of Stars. It talks about this big imagery of the heavens. And looking up at the heavens and just creation and what we see. What do we experience? What's interesting about what we experience in life is that we tend to look at life through one of two lenses. We tend to either look at life through lenses of wonder, where it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, this is wondrous. Or we can look at life through the lenses of negative impact or negative experience. So let me illustrate this for you. You take the same thing, right? Take like the snow last night. Last night it started snowing, and I let my dogs out, and I went outside at like 8:30, and dude, it's just like that quiet snow, where it's like you can hear just the rustling of the snowflakes hitting, and there's just no noise, and all the lights are just shimmering, and just there's this glow. And there's that moment where the snow has kind of covered everything, and there's no footprints, and I'm out there with my dogs, and I'm just like, oh, this is beautiful. This is amazing. And then I woke up this morning, and I was like, I hate my life. Stupid snow, I never want to see you again. I'm moving to Arizona. Forget this junk. There's eyes of wonder, and then there's eyes of negative impact. There's eyes of, wow, this is amazing. And then there's the eyes that say, man, this is how this affects me, and I don't think I like it. Okay, think about this. You ever get a puppy? Get that first puppy, right? And you're holding it, and oh, and you guys just got a puppy, you know, and you're like, oh, this is beautiful. Like, oh, look at it. It's like God just knit it together out of the softest little fabric. Oh, this beautiful thing. And you're kissing it, and you're letting it lick your face. You're letting it lick the inside of your mouth, but you don't care because it's this beautiful, like, puppy. And it's awesome. And then after a week of that puppy pooping and peeing on your floor, you want to pick it up by the neck and just shake it. I'm just kidding. Too much? Too hard. Sometimes I need to know where my boundaries are, so thank you. There's the ocean. I love going to the ocean because when you step out of your vehicle and you walk up to the ocean, like, this is my experience. Every time, I'm just in awe of how big it is. And I'm just blown away by the fact that I could never see what's on the other side of that ocean. I know it from maps and globes and all of that, but I can't see it. Just from east to west, as far as you can see, there's just ocean. It's just flat, amazing ocean. And it's just wondrous. It's amazing. And so what do you do, right? You get your swimsuit on, and you're like, I'm just going to get into that because I want to be part of this amazing creation that God made. And I'm going to be in this massive, amazing part of just the earth, and it's going to be beautiful. And so you step up, and you put a foot in the water, and you go, that's too cold, I'm out, where's my towel? Let's go get some coffee at Starbucks, right? Because I'm not going to be cold in that ocean. I look at it through eyes of wonder at first, but then as soon as it impacts me negatively, that's all I can see. I don't want to go to the ocean. It's stinking cold. Let's just do something fun, like go to a movie, right? It's what's really amazing is that when you take two things that are wondrous and combine them, somehow it doesn't always add up to like what's good. So like I love thunderstorms as well. Anybody just love a good thunderstorm? I got an app on my phone where I play thunderstorm music or sounds just so that I can like be focused on doing. I love thunderstorms. My wife hates this, but like I love tornado warnings because I just want to go outside and watch it. And she's like, she's literally in the door of the basement yelling out to me, please come in, please. I'm like, no, it's not here yet. I just want to see it. I love that thunderstorm. It's just awesome. And the feeling of being in your house and looking out the window as just rain is just pummeling the ground. Thunder is rumbling. It's amazing. So that's a wondrous thing. And then another wondrous thing is Disney World, right? I mean, Disney World, you walk up and it's just amazing. It's just, oh, you know, people singing. It's just awesome. Well, we went to Disney World last year. We had the combination of those two awesome events. We stayed at Disney World at the Magic Kingdom late because we wanted to see the parade at night. We were all tired, but it was so exciting. And we find a spot, and wouldn't you know it, it's night and the parade starts, and that's when it just starts a literal downpour of rain. Now, usually when you're in Orlando, it's going to rain for 10 minutes, and then it's going to stop. This was not Orlando weather. We were standing there in the rain watching this parade for an easy half an hour. I mean, we were drenched. And it wasn't like that warm tropical rain where it's like, you just want to dance in it, you know. I think women do that. They just spin and dance in the rain. It's like the ice cold freezing rain where every drop that hits you feels like a needle poking you in the skin. And so I'm like trying to hover over the kids. There's these nice people who actually brought their umbrellas and ponchos with them, and they let us have their umbrella. And so like three of us are under it, and the rest of us just, we're wet. It's done. And actually, let me show you a picture of what happened when those two wondrous things came together at this world. Because two things that you can look at with eyes of wonder in one moment and just be in awe of, when you have a negative impact, when it affects you negatively, all of a sudden you're doing this, right? That's how we see the world. And I think it's easy for us to rip off those wonder lenses and to see the world through how it's going to affect us and impact us, you know, because, it, you know, bad stuff happens sometimes. And it's a bummer because I think that when we stop looking at the world, we stop looking at things through our eyes of wonder and lenses of wonder, I think we're really missing out on the big picture of things. Because I believe this. I believe that God gave us a sense of wonder for a specific reason. God gave us that sense of wonder for the reason. And I think that reason is so that we can see him. Let me read you a passage here in Psalm 19, 1 through 4. This is what the writer of this psalm says. It says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. And their voice is never heard. Yet their message is gone out throughout the earth. And their words to all the world. The writer of Psalm, and the Psalms are just a big collection of worship songs and poems and just things that real people wrote about their real life experiences. And the writer of this Psalm is saying, listen, he's saying, when I look out at all the things that God created, when I look at this, I don't know, I can see him. I can see God in the details. And I want to just start off this morning by telling you this. This is really important that we understand and we know this. And this is, God wants to be found. Okay? God wants to be found. He's not hiding. He's not, you know, hiding off in some corner somewhere where it's really difficult. We don't have to go through a bunch of tasks and chores and, you know, challenges or through a maze in order to find him. God wants to be found, and he's proclaiming himself through nature. And what I want to talk to you guys about is another psalm. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 8, just verses 1 through 5. And I want to just pull out some of the ways that God is just trying to declare himself and his presence to us Through the things that he has created. So we'll start in Psalm 8:1. And it's this psalm, this poem that someone's writing. It's a worship song. It starts this way. It says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. So the writer said, God, listen, your glory, your awesomeness, it is vast. It is huge. You know, I look up to the heavens, and it's greater than that. It's bigger than that. It's more magnificent than that. I want to put some facts to this. I mean, I want you to think about a couple things. So, like, think about the earth, right? we live on the planet Earth, it's huge. I mean, just to go around the entire Earth, you know, maybe you could do it in 80 days in a balloon, but the Earth is just this vast, enormous thing. You think about being at the ocean and just looking out, and you can't see from shore to shore. It's impossible because our planet is huge. But then in the scheme of things, our planet rotates around the sun that a million of our Earths could fit inside of. And so there's this solar system that our planet is just this tiny little part of. And it's just this vast, amazing thing with the sun and multiple other planets. But it doesn't stop there. So we have the solar system, our solar system that we've grown up in. It's got 8 planets, 9 if you're like me. You grew up thinking that Pluto's a planet, which it is. I just feel like that in part. But we live in the solar system. I want to show you guys some images that came from the Hubble telescope. And this first image right here, this is called a nebula. So what a nebula is a collection of gases that are out in space. A nebula is really, it's kind of like a birthing center for stars and planets. That these gases over time will coalesce and gather together. And the more the gases connect to each other, the more their gravitational pull is. And eventually these gases are going to, you know, form into stars, into suns of their own, and it's going to form into planets. And so that's what a nebula is. What's amazing about a nebula is this thing is literally light years across. The multiples of our solar systems could fit inside one of these nebulas. This is a ring nebula. This is, I mean, it's the same. There's all sorts of different kinds of nebulas. Light years apart, just gases existing out in space. Show that next one. This next one is beautiful. That's a cat's eye nebula. This is real. These aren't computer graphics. These are photographs taken by a telescope that's out in space. Show the next one. This one is called the Carina Nebula. Now, some nebulas are more formed in their gas state than others. So see the top end of that nebula up there where there's kind of a line of light showing on that? Our solar system could fit right to the top of that. So if you were looking at that, you couldn't even see Earth because of the size of this nebula and the scope of it. Now, show the next one. This one, a lot of you guys have seen. This is called the Pillars of Creation. This is a portion of another nebula called the Eagle Nebula. And this is kind of, the Hubble telescope was able to zoom in and get this amazing image. You know, it looks like, people say it looks like the hands and the fingers of God. It's just remarkable. I want to show you something that's really remarkable, though, because this picture right here is zoomed in. Let's zoom out and show you the actual Eagle Nebula. Those three things right in the middle of the screen, that's just the Pillars of Creation inside this Eagle Nebula. And you can see throughout, scattered throughout, some of the shinier things. Those are stars that are just beginning to be birthed from the gases of this nebula. Okay, so just, I mean, for perspective on how vast and huge the universe is, you've got Earth, then you've got the sun that a million Earths spin, and then you've got our solar system, which is huge, and then you've got these nebula, which thousands and thousands and millions of our solar systems could fit inside of. But it gets bigger. Go to the next shot. This right here is a star field. Okay, this is, the Hubble telescope took a shot. All of these are stars. This is when a nebula begins to just birth out stars so quickly. Every one of those is its own solar system that we can see. Go up one more picture. Beyond all of that, this right here, that's a galaxy. A galaxy is made up of millions and millions of solar systems. Millions and millions of nebula. Our galaxy is the Milky Way galaxy. Every single one of those nebulas that you saw are a small, tiny part of our entire galaxy, of which Earth is just a tiny little pinpoint. This is the Sombrero galaxy that I guess they call that because it looks like a Mexican hat. I don't know, but that's a real quick. Let's go to the next one. This is another galaxy. This is called the Whirlpool galaxy. And again, this one is bigger than the Milky Way galaxy. What's remarkable, too, is if you look at the bottom over here, you can see that tiny little red mark. That's just another galaxy hanging out in the background. Go to the next one. This is a ring galaxy. Another amazing thing. And again, just stop for a second and look down here. There's just another galaxy. I'm just chilling back here, guys. I'm just a little guy. No big deal. I'm just hanging out. You know, galaxies everywhere. And then finally, let me show you this last picture. This picture is called the Hubble Ultra Deep Field Photograph. And so the Hubble telescope basically did this. It fixated on a point in the sky in order to capture all that it could. So just for perspective, if you took a postage stamp and you went outside in the night sky and you held the postage stamp up in front of your face, that is how much sky is being photographed in this picture. Okay? So think about how vast the whole night sky is, and then just take a postage stamp, hold it in front of your face, and that's what this snapshot is. Here's what is amazing. All those galaxies I just showed you, every one of those little dots is a galaxy. Those enormous, gigantic galaxies, some of them are so large you can see them kind of swirling around, but every single light you see up there is a galaxy. An enormous galaxy that within it contains enormous nebulas and millions of solar systems and millions and probably billions of suns and billions of planets all combined. And each one of those dots is one of those things. And somewhere in there is a galaxy that's the size of our Milky Way. And inside that is a little sun. And inside that is a little planet. And on our little planet are little people just like us. And when you look at that, that's how vast God's creation is. That's how remarkable and amazing the hand of God is. And this, again, how many postage stamps would you think it could take to fill your view of the sky at night? And this is just one of them. Just one. How many galaxies exist if we could just scan the entire sky with the Hubble telescope? How many galaxies, how many millions and billions would we see just filling our night sky? Romans 1:20 says this. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's talking about the same thing, and he's telling the church in Rome about the nature of God. He says that, for ever since the world was created, that people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. I think what's so amazing about this, too, is that Paul says, listen, from the beginning of time, you could look up at the sky, and you could see it just full of stars, and you could just know. You could know that there's something divine revealing itself to us. And what's remarkable is that now we live in a time where science takes us to a place where we can experience this so much greater than any human beings could throughout history. And we can see more of what God made. We can see more of what he created. We can see now that, like, when we talk about God's glory going beyond the heavens, it's so much farther than the stars that we could see in the sky. It's the billions of galaxies that we can't see with the naked eye, but that science is allowing us to see how far and how vast and how wide the universe that God created is. God is in the enormity of creation. He's in the hugeness of what he made, and he wants to be found in the enormity of what he made. But Psalm 8, this psalm continues on. In Psalm 8:2, it continues, and it says this. Right after it says that, God, you're found in the glory, your glory is found in the hugeness of the heavens. It says this: you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. God, you are found in the biggest things in all the universe, in all the heavens. But you know what, God? Even beyond that, I go to the small things. I go to babies and children, and somehow, even in them, you're proclaiming yourself. This is cool. How many of you guys remember if you had a kid, I hope you don't remember it if you haven't, but how many of you guys remember when you saw your baby for like the first time? And you hold that baby in your hands, and it's like you just want to like play with those crazy tiny little fingers, and you're just examining it and exploring every inch of this baby. I remember when Cameron came out, her eyes were super crazy big, and her lips were just like, it was like they were carved out of marble. They were just like, it's like someone had applied perfect lipstick, and I just couldn't stop looking at the little points on the top of her lips, or looking at her little fingernails, how tiny and delicate and amazing they were. There was just something about taking this smallest being that I'd ever held and just being amazed at the miracle of what God had done. Now, I mean, we can talk about the lenses of wonder and lenses of negative impact with children, because let's be real, like my baby's fingernails are beautiful and wondrous. You know, my 10-year-old's fingernails, when there's dirt under them, makes me just want to like get a toothbrush with bleach and just scrub those things out like crazy. I wouldn't do that to my kids, just no bleach on my children. But God can be found in the small things. I'm going to show you some more pictures here, okay? Now, the Hubble telescope is able to photograph huge things. There's electron microscopes that are able to take pictures of very, very small things. I want to show you what God's creation looks like in the features that we can't see with our naked eyes. So go ahead and bring that first one up. This image right here, that's a butterfly egg. That's a single egg from from a blue morpho, one of the most rare butterflies that there are. That's a single butterfly. I mean, look at the colors, look at the features. I mean, we think about things that are small, like bugs, like, ew, that's gross. But man, when you get up close, you can just look at every indentation on that thing. Every indentation on something that we couldn't even see with our naked eye. Bring that next one up. This is actually another butterfly egg. And this butterfly lays its eggs in the vines of a very super tiny plant so that the plant can give it some protection. But look at that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful, what God made? Okay, I'm going to show you something that some of you guys are going to have a hard time finding beautiful, but I think it's pretty remarkable. Go ahead and bring the next one up. Okay. This thing is called a tardigrade. Okay, that's what it's called. The scientists call it a water bear, too. This is a tiny microscopic creature that exists in our world. It's 0.3 millimeters. And this thing is rugged. This thing can survive in water. It can survive in heat. It can survive in freezing temperatures. It can survive in the vacuum of space. But we could never see this thing with our naked eye. But I mean, look at that. Look at how remarkable that thing is when we zoom in. And think about the fact that, I mean, we can say, man, God created huge, amazing things. And that little speck of sky that I see that just looks like a star, that's a galaxy. Man, that's amazing. I can imagine that. Think about all the things that God made that for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, people didn't even know existed. I mean, we only started to know that this thing existed recently as we were able to look down at small things. But God has created this almost different universe that's so small that we could never see it. Let me show you the next one. This is a butterfly's face. Some of you guys are like, really gross. And some are like, oh, it's lovely. That's a butterfly's face. Look at its eye. It's amazing. All the little parts that make up that thing's eye. Just the thousands and thousands and thousands of small little eyes that they can bring the next picture up. This under electron microscope, that's what a butterfly's wing looks like. If you can zoom in, you can see. Look at the amazing colors. Look at the lines. Look at the uniformity. Look at the connections. Look how this thing was crafted. I mean, just the amazing craftsmanship that went into that amazing thing. And then the last one, I think, is relevant to us today. This is a snowflake. That's just one. That is one snowflake. And when they say that, you know, no snowflakes are alike, they're totally right. Scientists got some snowflakes, put them under electron microscope. I think out of all of these, this is the one that's most amazing to me. Because this to me, it speaks, it almost looks man-made, right? Because it looks like it was designed. It looks like it was cut out by a device. It was created with firm and hard lines. I mean, this is incredible. And yet, these are the things that surround us everywhere we go, all the time. And yet, God's trying to tell us this. He's saying, you can find me in the smallest of things. Here's what is super crazy. When we go outside after service, we're going to walk into snow, right? There's going to be piles of it. It's going to be on our cars. And yet it is made up of billions of those, all just stacked up on top of each other. Billions of them. But we can never see it. But God sees it. God made it, and he made it specific. God can be found in the heavens. His glory is bigger than the huge vastness of the heavens. But God can also be found in the smallest things, things we don't even know that we can't see yet. God, his design, his hand and his fingerprints can be found in those things as well. And so the psalmist, who writes Psalm 8, he remarks on these things, and then he continues on. This is, I think he asks a question that many of us would ask. He says, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, when I look up at the sky and I see, God, what you made, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? What are human beings that you should care about them? Now, I think that's a really important question, because I think that's a question that human beings have been asking themselves, you know, since we started walking this earth. Because there are those who would look at some of these pictures from the Hubble telescope and look at some of these pictures and just remark at the scientific aspects of it. But when you think about how vast everything is, how big the universe is, and you ask the question, wow, where's our place in it? And I think the answer, when you ask that question and you don't know how to find the right answer, is this, is that it's meaningless. It's all meaningless when you think about how big everything is and how small I am in the scheme of things. How could I possibly matter? Where do I even fit in the scale and in the scheme and in the scope of all of this that God has created? And it can make us feel pretty insignificant, right? But the psalmist, he writes this. He continues on right after that. He says, you know, what are we mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? And then he says this, yet you made them, you made us, only a little lower than God, and you crowned them with glory and honor. What is man that you would even care about us? All that you could make, all of this amazing creation, what are we that you would possibly even give a rip about us? But when you made mankind, you made them only a little lower than God, and you crowned them with glory and honor. Here's the thing, when God created everything, right? When he knit it all together, when he decided all of my new pieces that were going to come together, the atoms and the cells, and all those little things that were going to build into the bigger things, the earth, the planets, and the suns, and the nebulas, and the galaxies, from the smallest to the biggest, when he put it all together, he decided that what he was going to do is he was going to build creation around a centerpiece. He was going to build everything that he made, he was going to create it all around one central point. And that point is you. You are the thing that God created the universe around. You are the person, you are the thing that God created and said, I want to make all of these other things, partly because I'm into it, I think it's cool, but I want that person, I want them who's sitting right in the middle of everything that I'm going to make, I want them to be able to find me. Because we said at the beginning, we said God wants to be found, but there's more to that. See, God wants to be found by you. God wants to be found by you. God doesn't want to be found in a generic sense by a telescope. You know, the Hubble telescope, as far as we get into viewing the universe that we exist in, we're never just going to see like a winky smiley face and God like waving at us in the Hubble telescope. Because that's not going to happen. God's plan is not to like just, hey, universe, I'm here, and then go on his merry way. God doesn't just want to be found like Bigfoot, and we can all say, oh, Bigfoot exists. God wants to be found by you. He wants you individually, as a human being, as a person. He wants you to find him. And so you know what he did? He decided to make some flashing billboards, some neon signs that said, hey, I'm here. Here I am. When you look at this star, when you see this galaxy through the telescope, when you see this nebula, when you look at the leaves of a tree up close, when you see what a snowflake looks like, when you hear the calm silence and nothing but the sound of billions of snowflakes rustling up against each other on a snowy night, when you experience and see all those things, I did that because I wanted you to find me. God wanted to be found by you. And so our response, I mean, what we can do is we can either do this. We can either look at the world through eyes of wonder that God gave us to have so that we could experience and know him. We can look at through eyes of wonder where we recognize and know that we are seeing God's, you know, that we're seeing the fingerprints of God that are left behind in the wet clay of his creation. You know, there's some claymation movies that have been made in the past. There's a movie called Blushed Away. It was made by a claymation company, but they actually made it on computers. But they wanted so much detail that they manufactured fake fingerprints onto the things that were on the screen so that even though it was computer animated, it would feel like it was real clay so that you could see the fingerprints of the people who created it. And God has left his fingerprints behind. And man, when we look at the world through eyes of wonder, man, we can see God's fingerprints left behind for us to see. So we can look at the world through eyes of wonder, or we can look up at the stars and we can look up at the sky and grasp the scope of the universe and how huge it is and how vast it is. And we can look at that and looking at it all, we can just recognize how insignificant and small we are. We can either see God's fingerprints and say, man, this is wondrous. God made this for us. Or we can look at it and we can say, man, I don't have a place in any of this. I'm a tiny dot on a tiny planet in a tiny solar system that it doesn't even shine a light in the size of our single individual galaxy, which is just a pinprick of light in a postage stamp size of a picture of the sky from a planet billions and billions of light years away. when we look at the world without eyes of wonder, when we look at God's creations through the eyes of just who we just see ourselves as, that's all it is. And so, I mean, there's really two choices. It's either God created us and we are the most meaningful thing in all of creation, or our lives are totally meaningless. That's the message of the universe. We can look at it and say, you know what? I'm either the most important thing that God created, and He created this for me, and His Word says that He made this for me, and I can see Him at work in everything. I can see His fingerprints all over it. And I can look up at the sky full of stars, and I can recognize that God is here and that He wants to be found by me. Or, and it's for the most meaningful thing, or we can go to this side of things and we can look at that stuff and just be overwhelmed by how insignificant and small we are, and ultimately recognize that our lives are totally meaningless. And that choice is in our hands. And God's just saying, He's saying, listen, you are not meaningless. You don't just live your life to just experience it and then just blink off into blackness and turn into dust for, you know, something else to be made out of. That's not what I made you for. I made you to be the centerpiece, to be the crown jewel of everything that I made, because I want you to find me. I want you to know me, and I want you to experience me. So when Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay, when he sings, "In a sky full of stars, I think I see you." He may not even know it, but he's talking about God. That's who he sees. He sees God. And when you look up at that same sky, God wants you to know this. This is what He wants you to hear. I made this for you. I made this so you could see me, so you could understand me, and so you could find me. And the amazing part of creation is this. I mean, God didn't just give us creation so that we could look at the stars and try to fumble our way through to discovering who He is. It's just the starting line. It's just the beginning. There's so much more of His revelation of Himself to us than He has through His Word, through relationship with Him, through relationship with other people. But it all starts with the recognition that God wants to be found by you. I'll give everybody your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're in this room and, you know, when I talked about this idea of thinking about the universe, you've done that. You know, I think there's been a point when we think about the scope of everything that it's hard to not feel like, wow, is there meaning to anything? I mean, just life happens and then we die and then stars are born and the stars die and it just expands. I mean, where do we even fit into all of this? And you have felt like your life doesn't have any significance, doesn't have any meaning. And today, as you've been listening to this, there's something speaking into your heart. And I'll tell you what that is. It's the voice of God. He's saying, I want to be found by you. I'm not hiding. I'm not running. It's just like Kevin said during our worship set. If you begin taking a step towards me, I'm going to meet you there because I want to be found. And if you're in this room right now and you're like, Chris, you know what? I've run from this my whole life. I've pushed this off. I've been a skeptic. I've been a doubter. But I can't doubt anymore. I'm just at a point now where I just want to find God. I just want to answer this question. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. No one's looking around, but if that's you, I just want to answer the question. I just want to say, you know what, God, I want to find you. If that's you, just react. Just slip your hand up right now so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful and grateful for all that you have made and all that you created. And I'm so thankful, Father, that you saw fit to put us at the center of all that you made. It's kind of ridiculous, God, even to think about when we think about how messed up we are and how flawed we are and you know, the stupid mistakes we make and, God, just the dumb things we do. It's crazy to think that you would have chosen us to be the heart of all that you made. But you did. And Lord, I pray, Jesus, for every single person who lifted a hand, Father. I pray, Lord, that when they look at creation, when they look at the sky, when they look at the snow, when they look at what you made, God, that no longer would they see insignificance, but they would find meaning. That they would find you, Lord, and that as you reveal yourself to them more and more, that they would understand how deep, how wide, and how high your love for them really is, Jesus. And I pray, God, that for each and every single one of us, Lord, that you would help us to see the world continually through eyes of wonder. And not look at it through the eyes of how things affect us or impact us negatively. But that, God, our eyes would be wide open to see what you want to do in our lives, to see where you're leading us, where you're guiding us, to see the purpose that you've created each and every single one of us for. And Father, we thank you so much that we can stand in the middle of this enormous universe, that we can stand in the middle of billions of galaxies and stars, that we can stand in the midst of creation that we don't even know is here because it's so microscopic, but God, your fingerprints and your hands are in it, Lord, and that you made us to know you and to know your love. Father, I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, that we would take that message with you, that you would seal it in our hearts. And God, that if nothing else, when we leave this place, that we would leave with a firm sense, God, that you know us and that you love us. But I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.